Ever want to know the similarities between being a drummer in a rock band and rock climbing in the outdoors? Well, take a moment and listen in as we hear from Joe, one of the members of our leadership team at our Blue Sky Camp, about his history of both a musician and an outdoor enthusiast and an outdoor leader, and how all of those interact. Stay with us. Welcome to The Avid Adventurer. I'm your host, Dave Secunda, founder of Avid for Adventure, and I am psyched you're here. Each week, just like today, I'll bring you an interview with a kiddo, young adult, or parent as they share not only the details of their noteworthy outdoor pursuits, but also how they navigate risk, challenge, setbacks, and service in their journey. It'll bring a smile to your face, and you'll feel your heart expand as you get to know the inner landscapes of these athletes. After listening, I know you'll feel uplifted and ready for your own next avid adventure. So let's dive in. Welcome, Joe. What a pleasant opportunity to have a chance to talk with you and welcome you to the podcast today. And you have such a diverse background. I'm so interested to digging in further hear not only about your life in Pueblo, Mexico, but your work as an assistant director at Blue Sky coming up this summer, as well as your non-camp life as a drummer, as a music production professional, and also on the admissions team at a music production college. I want to interweave all of those and hear lots about it. So let me hand it to you to just do a little bit of an introduction, share your name, a little bit about where you are, history with Avid, pronouns, anything else you think is important for listeners to know about you.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here chatting with you. So my name is Joe Levano. I live in Puebla, Mexico. I go by he, him. I've been working with Avid for around 3 or 4 years by now, and I'm just like really, really excited to come back to Mount Blue Sky as an AD now.
Fantastic. And we are so excited to welcome you back this summer after a year of hiatus otherwise. So I always like to start with a couple questions for our guests. Totally up to you how to answer this, but would love to hear kind of what you consider to be important about you regarding your experience in the outdoors, either, you know, a peak experience or something you're really proud of or something you'd love to do. What comes forward for you about the time you've spent in the outdoors?
Totally. If you really knew me, you would know that I've been climbing for quite a while. I love rock climbing. I got into it when I was like 15 years old. I had to have a hiatus from climbing for quite a while. And then I got reintroduced to it because of Avid. I got a job offer to be an instructor at Avid during 2021. And I just fell in love with climbing again. I tried it again. Campers and staff members helped me, you know, overcome the challenge of going back to climbing after a long time. And right now I'm back climbing. I really love it. I was not a really fan of outdoor activities at first. I got introduced to them because of Avid, you know, mountain biking, backpacking and all of that. I never thought I would be doing that on a regular basis. And then I just fell in love with it. Avid really changed my perspective on how awesome the world and the outdoors is.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I have so many questions, like going in a little bit deeper on that. So first of all, like turning back the pages for yourself, how did you first connect with rock climbing in your youth?
So there was this teacher when I was in middle school that wanted to do some sort of school trip to a climbing gym just to do something different. It's not really common here in Mexico as it is in the US, but there's climbing gyms and there's cracks all over the country. But that was the first time I tried climbing as an actual sport, and I just fell in love with it. I never played soccer, never played football, never played basketball. Like, I mean, I did, but I never fell in love with that kind of sport. I don't know, team-based sports are not my thing. I don't like competing with another person or making someone else lose so I can win. So climbing, that was something I fell in love with because I was only against myself. And it was, you know, this constant work of keep improving, keep doing better at it. And funny is right now I'm living like 10 minutes away from a crag. So I can go to do outdoor climbing whenever I want.
Oh my gosh. I have a big smile on my face because I have a very similar past. I got introduced to climbing around the same age. Although when I was that age, there were not yet climbing gyms. So I was introduced in the outdoors, but similarly never had the competitive spirit and was like always the last kid picked when there was activities like soccer. And so when I found climbing, I was like, ah, finally. So, you know, when you share that you kind of get to measure yourself against your own objectives and progress forward. Any other things about climbing that really intrigued you or brought you in?
I think it was not like fear of heights, but I was like really passionate about like that adrenaline, like being so high up that you can see the whole city from a crag and from a rock wall. I don't know. It was just a pure adrenaline rush that I got every time I did it. And I don't know. I just kept going back and going back at it. I did get like injured for a while. So I had stopped climbing for quite a while. And I got back into climbing like on a daily basis on 2022, like 6 years after I stopped for a while.
I love that. And when you were just starting, were your parents supportive or were they, did they know about it or what role did your family play?
My mom hated the fact that I climbed. Yeah, because my mom, you know, she's a mom, so she will always be scared that something will happen to me. Like even the first time I went to Abbott, she was like, oh my God, you're so far away from home doing all these extreme activities. She wasn't even worried about the kids I was in charge of getting hurt. She was worried about me.
She
about
you.
Yeah, because she knows me. She knows that if I see something fun, I'm going to do it. I just loved it. She didn't like it. But in the end, she's always been supportive, even if she doesn't agree with what I do. I mean, same thing with music. I think here in Mexico, it's more common that people hear, oh, I'm going to study music, and the parents really frown upon that. Constantly.
I think it might be common here too.
Yeah, I think that's something that happens everywhere, right? But she's always been supportive. She's always, you know, tried to push me forward to accomplishing what I dream about, to get closer to my goals, even if they're not a goal that she can fathom herself. So yeah, she didn't like to see me climb because she was scared. So she was like, okay, go to the gym. If you go to a crag, just let me know. Be safe. Don't go alone. Go with friends. Go with people that know how to actually belay and climb. And that was it. She was somewhat supportive, but she honestly never liked the fact that I climbed.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear that both kind of mom having fear around you participating in this activity, but allowing the weight of her support for you in your goals to kind of be a little bit heavier on the scale to support you there. Many parents do listen to this podcast. Any advice that you'd give for parents when they're navigating that with their kids or their young adults, like how to make the right decision, both to provide that level of guidance and protection, but also the support to let them fly and be free. Like how, when you become a parent or when you, you know, think about talking to parents, how will you help them navigate that?
I think it all comes down to risk management. That's something I really learned at Avid, that sports can be dangerous if you let them be dangerous. If you have all the safety measures, if you do everything being cautious and not forgetting to have fun while you're doing that, everything turns out great. And another thing that really helps out, like for parents, is learning a little bit about it. Because many times you hear something and you have this misconception of it, and you can never, get that conception of activities out of your mind. So if your kid wants to climb to the mountain biking, try to learn a little bit about it. Learn about the actual processes of it, how actually dangerous that can be. What are the actual dangers of it? Because climbing, I think one of the main dangers is weather, at least for me, if you do outdoor climbing, not knowing mm-hmm. what the weather is going to be like when you get to the crack or when you pick everything up. And same thing with biking, weather and how many people you're going with, never going alone. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I compare a lot of it with music because that was also something my mom didn't like. And I didn't go into music like I'm going to play drums and that's it. No, I wanted to get into music production. So I learned about it and I explained that to her. So it's not about me playing on a stage, but it's me doing management. It's me doing sales. It's me doing all the business stuff in music. It's me having a recording studio and having artists. So that really changed the conception she had of music production. And I think that same thing can apply to the outdoors adventures, because you hear, oh my God, my kid's going to be 2 weeks in a mountain with animals and doing crazy activities. But sometimes you get so lost in that thought that you're forgetting, oh my God, my kid's going to see how beautiful the outdoors is. Mm. It's going to live an experience like no other. He's going to have fun, a lot of fun with a lot of people that are really open to help and aid people and kids that, you know, get scared. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. just an amazing experience that I would really encourage parents to get informed on, because it's something that I would never let my kids miss out on.
Mm, that's wonderful. Well, what I'm hearing you say, just at a high level, like advice for parents, thing one, learn about whatever that is, whether yeah. it's music, rock climbing, or anything in between. Lean in, don't make a snap judgment, really like soak it all up and try and understand it. And then thing two is kind of risk management as opposed to risk elimination as a parent, yeah. you know, to be able to look at it not just as a yes or no, but like what are the various degrees of exposure or opportunity, and to kind of help manage that as a parent, you know, ultimately releasing that to your kiddo when they're at an age and level of judgment and responsibility that they can kind of make all of those for themselves. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes we see things like something extremely dangerous, and mm-hmm. sometimes we do things that are extremely dangerous and don't really know about it. Mm-hmm. For how many accidents happen climbing, how many of them are fatal, to how many accidents driving cars happen, oh, yeah. and how fatal they are. And we sometimes don't even consider those dangers. And then you learn yeah. a little bit about how the outdoor sports environment is. And so that it's not that dangerous. It's usually, mm-hmm. you know, the dangers are in the people that do dangerous stuff that are actually dangerous without precaution, without safety equipment. And yeah, I think that would be the main thing. Trying to totally. Not let your fears keep you away from doing really cool stuff and having yeah. this focus on the risk management.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting talking about like actual risk versus perceived risk. So from a customer support side, we get more questions about rock climbing than anything else that we yeah. do. Statistically, rock climbing is the safest thing that we do yeah. out in the field. We publish all our safety statistics. Parents can go to our website and dig in and see those. And if they take the time to do that, they will see that bicycling is the most dangerous activity, yeah. which you might understand from working at camp. You put kids on a bicycle and you don't have them on belay or in a safety system. You have to kind of rely on them. Parents very rarely ask about biking. You know, it's kind of the low perception, high actuality sort of a thing. That's intriguing. Well, let's go back to climbing for a second, and then I'm going to do a hard pivot and ask you about music. So climbing, recall a recent experience that was really like uplifting or exciting or just fulfilling in some way. Is there something recent that comes to mind of a moment that really hit that for you?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if this counts as recent, but like mm-hmm. the first time I got back into climbing, because mm-hmm. I got injured way back mm-hmm. when I was 15 years old, and I had to stop climbing mm-hmm. entirely. And when I got hired for Avid, I was really encouraged to try it again. And mm-hmm. even if I was not good at it, I kept some of the knowledge I had from when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And it had been like 6 years without climbing. And I went mm-hmm. back and I still felt the same rush of adrenaline. I still felt mm-hmm. the same excitement I got from the first time I climbed. So I was like, okay, this might not be healthy for my back, but it's all in the risk management. How much am I willing to lose to keep on being healthy with my back, and how can I keep climbing without damaging my body? So I began going to therapy. I began climbing again, even if they're low grades, because that's something that I really loved about climbing. It's not about climbing V15s or 515s. No, it's not about that. It's about climbing your own challenges and overcoming your own challenges. That's what gets the most out of you when climbing, knowing that you were better than yesterday, not, you know, trying to be better than someone else. So that was like a really, really cool thing. And thanks to have it, I got back to it. And I don't know, that was something I was really proud of, because I thought I was never going to climb again. And then as soon as I spent the whole summer in a mountain, I was like, I don't want to go back to my daily life of being in an office and at home. I want to keep doing this, you know, year round, because I don't want to wait for summer to begin so that I can enjoy these kinds of activities.
So that feeling that you described when you went back to climbing, it was that still, you know, that feeling of that rush inside. If you had to describe it as a physical sensation in your body, either when you return to it or when you're, you know, on an amazing climb, what does it feel like in your body to have that?
That's a really funny question. I think it's all in the breathing. It's so funny that I compare it to that. But when you're like having a really great struggle at climbing something and you begin like heavy breathing, it doesn't feel like when you run and it begins to hurt when you breathe. To the contrary, you're heavy breathing, but you're focusing on how you breathe. And I don't know, breathing feels fun. Like that's how I would describe it. Just taking a breath makes you feel good while doing that. That's the kind of sensation I get.
More to come in just one moment. Stay with us. Why is Avid for Adventure voted one of Outside Magazine's best places to work year after year? Because when you work here, your office is the outdoors, atop mountains, in rivers, and on trails, alongside colleagues that share your passions. Your to-do list will consist of teaching curious kids how to paddle, climb, hike, bike, and thrive in the outdoors. This isn't your typical day job. It's an adventure you'll never forget. Come check out all the opportunities for this summer at Avid for Adventure at avid4.com, and then click on jobs. Okay, so hard pivot now to music. And you talked about being a drummer and also doing music production. But when you're playing, is it a similar experience or is it completely different? Like, do you have a similar like passion for and just like expression of just like that feeling of completion or positivity when you're playing?
Yeah, totally. I think there's a lot of things that can compare to rock climbing in music. And that's the same kind of philosophy that I had when you know, playing live. It's not trying to be better than someone else. It's trying to improve your own set of skills, improve your way of playing, your presence, the music you make. It's definitely a rush as well. Like, I'm mainly a music producer, so I work mainly in studio. You know, I have lockdowns where I spend 8 hours inside a studio and just record and record and record. But the main rush that I get is definitely like playing live. It's I would consider like playing live something that was similar to what climbers feel when doing stuff like free solo. It's like a performance. It's something that you cannot fail. You've been training a lot and you cannot fail, because it, like in climbing, it's not because you have people watching, it's because you don't want to fall. But playing live is, okay, I cannot fail because I've been training this hard. I've been improving on these parts, on these challenges. And showing that in front of people, you know, you get this panic usually when you get on the stage. It happens to everyone. Even people that have been playing for all their life, you get this sense of anxiety and panic. You get scared. But then you're like, let's just do it. It's going to turn out fine. However it goes, we're going to have fun. And you have this type of chemistry that maybe you don't get when climbing, because when you play with someone else, I don't know, just jamming, you feel some sort of connection, which is hard to get even in music. You can play in bands with members that just, you know, just don't match in vibes and how you play. But then you meet someone that plays great and that plays exactly how you want them to play. And then you can play exactly how they want you to play. I don't know. It's just a different language that musicians speak, you know, without words. You're just vibing. I love seeing at the college I work in, seeing the jams that teachers do. Because even if you just watch them, even if you don't know anything about music, you can just see them and you can know that they're talking about something in a really, I don't know, difficult way to understand. You can see them looking at each other. You can see them vibing. You can see them grooving. And I think the best part of it, it's not just when you're with musicians on stage, but it's when you see the public vibing with your music. Because that's something really great. I think great minds have always said that you can explain something when you can explain it in the most simple way. And when you can make someone from a stage that doesn't know anything about music start vibing and grooving to the music you're playing live, I think that's the same way of communication through music.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful international language too, wherever you go, whatever you do. Are you in a band right now?
I do have a band. I'm right now mainly a composer and a singer. Because of my back problems, I stopped drumming, because that also was really deteriorating my back health. I am more of a studio musician right now because of the same thing. I play drums for some bands every now and then when they call me and hey, there's a gig, would you like to support us? And I'm like, yeah, of course. I love playing live.
Well, I'll make sure to put in the show notes if you have any links to anything you've done online. We'll make sure to get it there, because people will, I'm sure, want to kind of listen in as well. Well, you know, I do want to acknowledge you are very lucky to have these two interesting expressions of being able to kind of exercise that passion in music and in climbing. The listeners don't have the benefit of seeing you, but when I see you talk about these two things, I see your upliftment. I see your, you know, kind of your energy come up in a very similar way. And sometimes people don't have the privilege, you know, of finding even one of those things that brings that feeling to them in life. So that's amazing. Congratulations on arcing a path to be able to do that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I do understand that I am really privileged. And I think here in Mexico is a bigger privilege than in some other countries. Because, I mean, music is expensive, like, and music production is way more expensive. And then climbing is way more expensive. You know, having equipment to go outdoor climbing is really expensive, at least here in Mexico. So that's a reason you get along with people and, you know, try to, okay, you have a rope, I have carabiners.
Let's go.
Like, there's no person that I know that has all the equipment for themselves. You have to be sharing. But that's also a great way of socializing, you know. You get to meet new people. You get to open yourself to new experiences. So yeah, that's also great. I think with music, it's a little bit more different because you get your instrument and you never let anyone play your instrument because it's yours. That happens as well. But yeah, I mean, you cannot have a full band just by yourself. And you need to rely on people no matter where you play. You need to communicate with people and you need to befriend people. And I think those are two really great areas in which people really open up themselves to socializing and, you know, just making really good friends and having just a great time.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, this upcoming summer, as you said, you'll be working at our Blue Sky camp up in the mountains of Colorado, which is just one of the most spectacular locations ever. It's just so beautiful up there. Tell listeners what you're going to be doing this summer and what you're looking forward to as far as that role is concerned.
That's actually really great questions. I think I don't have any idea what I'm going to be doing during the summer. I have a small grasp because of the previous leadership members that I've seen mm-hmm. doing this work. So I'm probably going to be working a lot with programs, making sure kids have great activities every single day, making sure every single activity is going to be safe and secure for them. You know, trying to keep that peace of mind for the parents that their kids are in good hands. And most important of all, they're all going to have lots and lots of fun.
Mm. Thank you for that. I want to go to your camp. How do you do that? How do you facilitate great camp experiences for kids? Like when you're in a leadership position, what are you looking for and what are signs that things are going well or signs that things need to be fixed?
So I really admire counselors. I've been an instructor as well. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really demanding job. Because you're 24/7, not just, you know, looking out for kids, but also ensuring that they have a great experience, ensuring that they're having fun. Because that's the whole point of camp, having fun, enjoying the outdoors. And, you know, kids have homesickness. Many of them, it's their first time outside from their bed and they get thrown in a mountain for 2 weeks with people that they don't know. So it's scary. It's really scary. And even as an instructor, it's scary. It's your first time doing like instructor job. You get scared because you have so many children to look, you know, to look out for. And you feel this sense of responsibility, not only for their safety, but also for their well-being. How much fun are they having here? Because I've been working in sales as well. And it's in some of a sense, kind of similar that you have to give a great customer experience, not because you want them to come back every single year, but because you want them to really appreciate the outdoors, create people that are more fond of the outdoors. Because that was what happened with me when I joined Avid. I was really not a fan of the outdoors because I wasn't exposed to it a lot. And then a lot of people showed me how beautiful it is, how many things you can do, and how you can help preserve these kinds of environments with such easy tasks, just like leaving no trays, taking care of animals and of, you know, your environment. So yeah, I mean, ensuring a great experience comes a lot from the instructors and as part of the leadership team, trying to give some peace to them and trying to, you know, make sure that I can help every one of them because it's demanding, it's tiring. You are never resting. Even when you're resting, you're somewhat working. Even when you're sleeping, you're trying to see that a kid is not doing something or a kid's not, you know, messing around with another one. So yeah, trying to help instructors because I really value the work that every single instructor does at camp because it's not only taking care of people, it's really being, I don't know, a really great example to campers of how to have fun. Like when I was an instructor, I always tried to show kids how much fun it could be. Even if I did silly things, I was not embarrassed to do silly things because I knew that would get a laugh out of them. And that means I'm doing something good. Even if they would make fun of me, go on, make fun of me. I don't care. I know that you're enjoying it. And the fact that you're enjoying it makes me enjoy this experience because that's my whole reason to be at camp now. At first, it was like, okay, I'm here because I need a summer job and I need to get paid. And now that I keep coming back, it's just, I got this great experience of knowing that a kid had a great time, and knowing that my impact during the summer can withstand more years to come. Like sometimes at camp, you get to teach a kid how to ride a bike and maybe they will never remember, this year of school, the teachers they had or their friends they had, at elementary, right? But they are always going to remember who taught them how to ride a bike and their first time climbing and their first time mountain biking. All of that, those are really transcendental experiences that Avid really gives out to kids. And at first, being an instructor, you get that firsthand. And being now in leadership, you try to make sure that all your instructors have this same mindset of you're getting paid to be, you know, riding bicycles down a mountain. You're waking up every single day to some deer in front of your door. You're waking every day to go zip lining. And I don't know, it's all about that positive mental attitude that everyone needs to keep having all the time because life's beautiful, camp's beautiful, and you should always try to have fun with it.
Mm. Thank you for that. It's a great perspective. You know, one of the other ways I know you is through your work with diversity, equity, and inclusion on our committee at AVID. And specifically around that, really being an advocate for some of our international staff. I did an interview with Hafa, one of our staff members from Brazil, a couple of weeks ago. And he was sharing that, you know, when he got hired, he had never left Brazil. It was the first time he had left the country, never obviously been to Colorado. And when he was coming on the plane and he looked out the windows and he had never seen snow before, yeah, and he like burst into tears and he's like, what is everyone thinking around me? But it was like such a personal big experience as well. In kind of advocating and supporting international staff, I think that is not an uncommon experience for this to be kind of out of the comfort zone of staff, like coming to the United States, coming into a completely new surroundings, not only in a new country, but now in an outdoor environment, which might be uncommon in their home country. You know, talk about that whole facilitation for international staff and also kind of the benefit for the staff members, but also the benefit for our other staff and campers by having this this mix of domestic and international people working at the program.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely an experience that I'm pretty sure every single member of the international team has had before. And even like here in Mexico, I think it got really common during college to do camp jobs with, you know, different camps all over the States. But I think what AVID has is way different than any camp because it's not centered about, you know, like a Christian camp or something like really specific or something like that. It's about the outdoors. It's about diversity. And the staff really shows that up. I remember my first year at AVID, I was one of the few international staff members that applied for an instructor job. Because most of the international staff ends up working at kitchen facilities. It's not because of AVID. It's mainly because we as international staff, we get scared of going outside of the country for our first time. And then you get to hang out with just people that don't speak your language and it's hard. So sometimes we just go with the safe bet of, okay, if I work here, I'm going to be spending my day with people that come from my same environment. So, I mean, it's like some sort of comfort zone. And then my second year, I saw a big increase in how many people wanted to apply for instructor jobs. I have a friend, Marco, from Blue Sky. He was a kitchen assistant on his first year. Second year, he applied for an instructor role, and then he got recommended for leadership. And that's something like really great because just because of your fear of, I don't feel like I'm really good enough at speaking English, or I'm not good enough at working with children because I'm scared, really limits you. And then you get people there that see how great of a person you are and really push you forward. Like, hey, man, you need to apply for this. You would be great at it. And then you do it and you realize that indeed you're great at it and that you're great at many more things. First, it was usually like that. We had a lot of staff members from Mexico. And then 2022 came, we had staff members from Europe. We had people from Spain, people from Portugal, people from Egypt. I mean, it's great. It really, really outshines in the sense of diversity. And I think that's one of the greatest things that AVID has, this really great open-mindedness, this really great sense of equity and diversity and inclusion for every single person that I've ever seen at AVID. I've never met someone that didn't feel like AVID was some sort of a home to them the moment they arrive. And that's why people keep coming back. Like, you see a lot of returners every single year. And I think that really speaks well of how great the community at AVID is with international staff and with domestic staff.
Well, Joe, that's a wonderful point to wrap it up. I so appreciate your perspective. I learned a lot about you, but also a lot about Avid, you know, from hearing your experience of kind of traveling through different positions in the organization. I so appreciate you taking the time to share a little bit about your background, from your music to your climbing to your leadership. And I just have deep gratitude for the time you spent with us today.
No, thank you, man. I really appreciate you inviting me to this podcast. I really enjoyed my time at Avid. Anytime that I get an opportunity to participate in anything, I'm down for it. I really love this, and I hope that many people can get inspired and that can have this big change of life that I had through Avid. Even if you're a camper, if you're an instructor or a support staff, believe me, camp really, really changes your life.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from this Avid adventurer as much as I did. Join me every week as we continue to explore the inner landscapes and outer accomplishments of our guests. And if you know someone who you think would make a great interview, please reach out to me at the email in the show notes. I look forward to reconnecting next week.